Every Saturday in July, the last month of season 13, I've been interviewing a variety of Camino gurus. Next week on the show is Andrew McCarthy. You might remember him from the Brat Pack days. He was in St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, a whole bunch of different movies. Tori, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? 21-year-olds. But today, we have some different Camino gurus, Moni and Alberto. Alberto. That's how you have to say it too, right?
You have to say it very well.
Alberto. Moni and Alberto. They are award-winning authors, artists, pilgrims who have chosen to dedicate their life's journey to the inner transformation, to awakening the sacred within and sharing its gift with the world. They each walked the 800-kilometer Camino in northern Spain, where they actually met and fell in love. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a love story as well. And later that same year, I guess it worked out because they walked another 5,000 kilometers from Rome to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage for peace that lasted 13 months and took them through 13 countries. Those are bad luck numbers. I don't know why you didn't go to 14. Anyway, welcome. Thank you for coming. You guys live up in the Ottawa area. Is that right, Moni?
Yeah, yes. We do, actually. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, you don't know that yet. You don't know what's happening. No idea what you're in for.
Well, it's like pilgrimage, right? A journey into the unknown.
Nice. Yeah. I want to know the love story. I want to go right to that. I am a love story junkie. I come across like a big meathead who doesn't care, but I am just a complete mushbag when it comes to love stories.
Love it.
So who wants to start spilling? Can we wait? Can Alberto say it? Because if he says if he says the love story, it will sound much better. Muy bueno.
I can't compete with that accent.
No, so not at all.
You go ahead.
Will be my pleasure.
Yeah, dude, you're killing me. Okay, so wait. I'm gonna tell me about the first time you saw her.
Well, the first time that I saw her was the day that I arrived to Finisterre, to this town that is 3 days away, or like 100 kilometers from Santiago. I had arrived to Santiago. I felt that still there was something that I didn't reach. I was feeling that what I was looking for, I didn't get it. Then I decided to walk these 3 days extra to the town of Finisterre that literally means the end of the world.
Right. So if people remember from the movie, The Way, you get to Camino de Santiago de Compostela, the cathedral, it's a cathedral.
It's a cathedral. Okay. Beautiful.
And that's the end of it. But then there's, if you want to walk 3 more days to the coast,
yes,
then that's the cooler way to do it.
I will recommend a lot.
Plus, you can have a bath in the ocean.
Yes. Right? Carefully.
Carefully. It's frigid. It's the Atlantic waters. And the waves are huge. Just be aware. It's not like, going into a Mediterranean day.
No, okay.
It's not
all
like
right.
that.
All right.
Okay.
It's too for the symbol that had the end of the world, because in the past, pilgrims, religious or not, they arrived there for to do the rebirth. They do a baptism.
Right, a baptism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they go in the waters, they burn their clothes. It's a new beginning in life. They leave the old ego, the old personality, and start a new self.
Right.
And that attracted to me so much. And that was in that town when I arrived to that town. It's the first day that I arrived was when I met Moni.
I'm sorry, what, you knew the day? You remember the day?
It was at the end of July. I will say that was the 30th of July.
July
30th.
Okay.
July 30th.
Yeah. And so
2001.
So how did you see her? Like across a crowded room? Was she swimming in the ocean screaming because it was cold?
It's another pilgrim which I walked that the last 3 days. The last 2 days present me to her.
Oh, so somebody else introduced you to her.
Exactly. Got because it. I didn't speak English at that time.
Right.
And she didn't speak Spanish either.
No.
Then she came, I remember.
Wait, but you know what a universal language is?
A love.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. All you got to look, you just got to look at her and go, hubba, hubba.
Well, I didn't fall in love immediately. And was
either.
Not in Finisterre. No. It was in our walk to Jerusalem. After to walk.
Hold on a second.
It was 6 months later. Nobody believes that.
No.
So you. I got to wrap my head around this. Because you just made the Hallmark moment go.
I know, it's terrible.
So you met each other, you were buddies, everything's groovy, and then you decide, hey, let's walk 5,000 kilometers. No, it didn't even happen like that.
It didn't happen that way at all. It was so much more magical. No. Goodness. I had walked the Camino by myself back then, and I had kind of the inspiration, if you want to call it that, a calling, to do a path called the Way of the Soul. And the Way of the Soul led to Jerusalem. And I thought, that's really what I feel like I need to do. I need to kind of walk towards that understanding of who I am. What is my purpose here? What can I do with my life that has meaning? Mm-hmm. And so I learned that while I was walking. And by the time I arrived in Finisterre, I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk to Jerusalem, and I'm going to do it alone. And so when this, actually the girl, the woman that brought him to Finisterre was actually a pilgrim friend that I had walked with most of the way. This is what's interesting, how the universe kind of works. Yes. I had walked with her almost the whole way to Santiago. She said to me, I really feel like walking to Finisterre. I said to her, I don't feel like walking. You know what? I'll meet you there. I'll take the bus and I'll meet you there. Well, in those 3 days of walking, she met Alberto. And she walked him to me. And essentially, we all met. And he was, to me, just another pilgrim.
Yeah, for me, the same. Yeah.
And she was the one who was acting as our translator. When I said to him, I'm thinking of doing this walk to Jerusalem. And he said, wow, that sounds really good. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was the end of it. He said, you know, good luck and buen camino, which you will learn to say a great deal when you get on the Camino.
I won't be saying a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
But you will hear it.
You'll hear it. And we actually separated that very same day. With no intention of seeing each other.
You didn't have any little tingly, nothing?
Nothing.
No, I told to my friends in Cadiz, from where I come, in Spain.
Yeah.
I told to my friends, I had met a pilgrim that is thinking to go to Jerusalem. They'd be, wow, that is crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
But then she make an impact, but not in the romantic way. It was more in the what she was trying to do. I was a walk for peace then. But I didn't know her.
Right.
But I didn't see myself in that adventure.
And really, it literally was just two strangers, two pilgrims meeting each other. He said, great, good luck, and then we separated. But what I didn't know was that he and that pilgrim friend of mine, her name is Hannah, they had actually begun a relationship together.
Later.
I left them, and they later started a relationship. And he moved to Germany to be with her. And they were starting their life together in a romantic relationship. And I was still making my preparations and still trying to get my head around the idea of walking by myself, you know, going on a pilgrimage of this length. Mm-hmm. There is no path, right? There's no path.
No.
There's nothing actually marked out for you.
No yellow arrows.
No yellow arrows, nothing. Yeah. And so it was as I was making my way to Rome to begin walking that I connected with Hannah. Again, I said, hey, you know, I'm on my way. She goes, hey, you know what? Come and see me. She goes, I'm in Germany. I'm on your way to Rome. Just stop by and I'll send you off with a proper pilgrim meal and then you can go. Well, when I got to Germany, he was there. And
so
I didn't know. I
didn't know
no
either
idea.
That she was coming until the last day.
And that's when you would think, oh, sparks again, but it was
still
nothing.
No sparks?
Still
no
sparks.
What is wrong with you guys? You're both very good-looking people. Actually, Moni, you're the one that looks more Spanish.
I know.
You get that all the time, right? All
everybody
the time.
Says that.
Yeah.
He looks Canadian, I look Spanish.
Yeah.
So I get that all the time.
Yeah,
it's so funny. It's
so funny.
But when I said to him, you know, I really feel this as a calling that I need to do this,
yeah.
It was then that he resonated with that. And that's when he said to me, I think I feel that I need to make this pilgrimage with you, not because of me, but because of the path and what the path promised and the journey into the unknown. And so obviously Hannah wasn't too thrilled with that.
Because she didn't want to go.
She didn't want to. I actually invited
her. She offered to her to go, and she offered to me. And she was starting a new job.
So when did it happen? Get to the point, man. When did it happen?
You're not going to believe this. And nobody believed this when we were walking. We walked for 6 months together.
Once
we got into Greece.
Yeah,
it was springtime in Greece.
Wait, you guys are together now because the way you're arguing.
We've been together for, 12, 13 years
we
now.
Had a doubter, too.
Yeah.
So you had been walking for how long?
I would say a good
five
or 6 months.
And there was still nothing.
Nothing.
Still nothing.
He was like an annoying brother to me.
Yeah, we had more fights than other things.
Exactly.
Even when we were walking for peace.
Right.
Yeah, we had a lot of fights.
So you're walking for peace, fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in love.
No.
No.
When
no.
did the love happen? When did it? Who made the first move?
Well, yes. In some
Alberto?
I was the one that fell in love first.
Right.
And was, I can
see this.
Something.
I see this like a bullfighter scenario. Okay.
What's that? Was a big fight that we have.
Thank you.
When we had the big fight, the masks fell down, and then I could see her. you know, and I could see that what I was judgment, I was complaining about was only something she was doing whatever she could at that moment.
Yeah.
And I could see the good in her, I could see her good intentions, and in that moment was when there is something, the music,
the, oh the my music God, began then.
I had been wrong about the.
So, so yeah. did you say, like, did you verbalize it and make your intentions known?
In that moment.
Did you write her a note? will you date me?
I didn't know what happened, but the next day it was so much nicer with her.
That's right. That was what I felt.
And
he offered to carry some of the weight of my backpack.
That's love. That is love.
What's going on here?
Yeah. And she made me suffer the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't, I wasn't sure.
That's a woman.
Sure.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
So, okay. So what was the first, was it her a kiss? Was there a hand-holding? Was there extended eye contact? When did it switch?
I'll tell you when it switched.
You know, it's taken me 15 minutes to get to this, right?
I'll tell you how it switched. Yeah. It switched. Well, we were in Greece, and I had become violently ill that night. I was vomiting, and I don't know.
These are not great.
I know. I tell you what.
Wait a second.
It was vomiting, hold that thought. It was actually I was physically sick, like vomiting and other releasing and other from other places.
Right.
And he actually came in to help me, and I said to him, please don't. And he said, I'm going to look after you, which was when he took me. He helped me to clean up. He cleaned up the vomit,
which was when I saw that, I thought only love would do this.
Only I wouldn't
love,
do that.
I know.
No.
Only love would do that, is when I finally appreciated that. I was concerned about the complications of walking with somebody that you know, all the things that come up in being in a relationship. But
we were
when
more
I saw
afraid
that,
to lose our path, because we were very committed with what we wanted to do and the spiritual or the inner journey.
Yeah.
And we knew that to fall in a relationship was to lose the control, become crazy, the emotions, you know, up and down. And then we didn't want that. For that reason, we had no thing until that moment, or I didn't think until that moment, into nothing.
Yeah.
And for her, it was the same, you know?
That's when it started. I know.
That was an exhausting story. It's fun, though. I mean, you had vomit, you had diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly.
There was hatred. Yeah. I'm trying to get, maybe a movie deal out of this. I got to work on that script a little bit. What is it about the Camino? Is it just because it's a trail with markings that's easy to follow, and there's places to stay, and you don't have to pack camping stuff, and there's long bits of quietness, and that there's social as well. So, or is there something supernatural about it, Moni? Okay.
Well, you know, I'll sprinkle a little bit of magic on dust on this whole story of the Camino.
Okay.
Long before Christianity came onto the path, this was a path that was walked also by pagans, it was walked by Celts, it was walked by sun worshippers. Why? Because this was a path that runs directly underneath the Milky Way. And so they believed that this path was imbued with a special energy that was coming down from the stars as well. And so when, especially the sun worshippers, when they walked, they were walking in a reenactment, if you will, of the sun being born every day and the sun dying every day in a symbolic way, as we as individuals are being born anew every single day in what we believe and how we see the world and ourselves and our spirituality, and how we die a little bit every day to those old beliefs and old thoughts that no longer serve us. So it was a reenactment in physical terms of what they felt was happening in the spiritual world. And so, and when they got to the end, which is where the sun finally set, is when they carried out all of their rituals of baptism and burning away all their old clothing. And so for me, it is more than just simply a nice route that's well marked. Yeah, you can walk it for that. You can walk it as a nice hiking route. It's a cheap way to travel. You have accommodations. There's culture. There's food. There's wine. There's cathedrals. There's all kinds of magnificent outer things to kind of distract you.
Sure.
But truly for me, if you walk with that intention, the Camino is a place where you can definitely connect with you, your inner self.
Okay. Did you grow up with God stuff or church stuff or spiritual stuff or faith stuff or religion stuff?
No. In fact, I was baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. That's my official religion.
Right.
But my family was not practicing. They
never went
and did anything. We walked into a church when there was a wedding or a funeral.
Right.
That was it. And really, my spirituality.
Sometimes they're the same. Just kidding. And so, your spirituality?
It only really emerged after, like, you know, we each go through our personal crises. Mine was a divorce, and that kind of brought, took me down the path of investigating what it is, like, who am I? You start asking the questions, right? You know, who am I? Why am I here?
Alberto, did you have a personal crisis before you went on the Camino?
Yes, I had two, and more or less at the same time that she had when she was in Canada and I was in Spain. For me, it was a crisis, especially because, well, I grew in a very religious family, a Catholic, conservative religious family, that they teach me, that I appreciate that they teach me that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that for me was fundamental.
That's a good start.
But when I grew, there was so many contrasts, so many contradictions, I would say, in the belief system with what I could see in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Then in some moment I lost faith in not only in the Catholic, but in everything, I would say.
Why?
Because I didn't understand, if God is love, why we can go to hell.
Right. If God is love, then why is there hell? If God is love, why does so much bad happen in the world?
So many other things. Yeah, yeah. Because I was very to the book, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but with time, the crisis arrived when I was living a life that I didn't appreciate. I was working in an insurance company, like a claim adjuster. For a few years already, and I couldn't be the artist that I feel that I liked arts, I liked to paint.
Fine arts.
I didn't have time for that because my work was all the time. And then I started to see my life like a gray road that was bringing me to a place that I was not going to be happy never about. Mm. And the death of a close-up, my best friend, in an accident, put the first seed about that I needed to live my life with a purpose because this could happen to me. You know, that my friend died and life can be very short, can happen tomorrow. And in that moment, I need to do with my life something that makes sense. And from that moment, I wanted to be an artist. But my couple at that time, my girlfriend for many years, my family needed money. Then I was helping with my work. I didn't find the moment to quit my job. And this brought me to almost a depression, possibly a depression. I didn't went to the psychiatrist or psychologist, but I was feeling very, 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 very bad. And when I was feeling so bad, arrived at a moment I say, I cannot anymore. I need to quit everything. I cannot live more in this way because I prefer not to live if I'm going to live in this way. That's when I found a book in a shell of my mother that she's very, I told you, she's very Catholic, very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a book that day when I had decided that something was going to change. I was not going to come back to my office. A book was coming out of the shell that put, I remember clearly, you can heal your life.
In Spanish.
So the name of the book is You Can Heal Your Life in Spanish.
We do it in Spanish.
Oh, I see.
In Espanol.
I don't know. It's a very famous book. And that was the first one. This Luis Hay is the writer.
Right.
But that showed me the book is that was another way to perceive spirituality, another way to perceive ourselves. The questions, like Moni said, the answers to who you are, who I am, why I am here. I always had the answers that Catholic Church, conservative Catholic Church, teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if I didn't choose that, there was nothing. In Spain, there was nothing. So, you are Catholic, or you are atheist. You know, that was the options that I had at that time.
Yeah.
But in that book, I could see, you know, there are other ways to perceive life. There are other ways to perceive spirituality. And I found again God love. I found again a God that loves us and that doesn't condemn us. And there is a purpose in life that is love. And there is a reason for that we are here, and it's based in love. And all that I read in that small book in that day, that was very fast, makes sense to me. And I was feeling in my body and everything that, you know, this makes sense to me. And then since that moment, I started to read, to look more on psychology and other, and become a seeker, but a happy seeker. That was the difference.
Sure, sure.
You know?
I could listen to you forever.
We can talk forever.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor just to lighten the mood just a little bit? Can you repeat after me? Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya.
Inigo or Indigo Montoya? My name is Indigo Montoya.
My name is Indigo Montoya. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. My name is Indigo Montoya.
Yes.
You killed my father. Prepare to die. Say it, say it.
Tú mataste a mi padre. Prepárate para morir.
Chills.
Too much fun. Princess Bride, folks. That's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
So, okay. Walking for peace. Really?
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't get it.
What is peace?
Well, but yeah, I mean, and you're walking for peace. Like, okay, obviously, you know, you're like the beauty pageant contestant. What do you want in the world? World peace, right? Mm. And I think if people were forced to come up with the greatest thing that they'd like for the world, they would say that. Sure, okay. But it ain't going to happen. And then you guys go walking forever for peace. And I don't understand the connection between the two. Help me understand how you guys walking for 5,000 kilometers helps world peace.
Yeah, actually, we got that question a lot.
That's a very good question.
I thought it was an awesome, unique question.
It's a wonderful question,
too. Not everybody asked that question. It's too polite for to ask that question.
Yes, I'm not polite.
Not good for you. No. We want that question.
I'll tell you my reasons for doing it, okay? I'm Lebanese. I was born and raised here. But my parents are immigrants. They came from Lebanon in the 1960s, and we still had family that was living in Lebanon. And so I grew up in a household where, you know, I think every Arab household has that those conversations going on in the living room all the time. You know, what's happening here? What's happening there? Who's aligning with who this day? And I grew up with this whole framework around, you know, what is justice and what is peace. That was just part of my upbringing. And I kept hearing the slogan, you know, if there's no justice, there's no peace, no justice, no peace. And I believe that, even though I didn't fully really understand what justice meant or what peace meant. But I to me, it was just all what everybody else said. Now, when I began my own spiritual quest, I started to really question, well, what is justice, really? What does that mean? What does peace really mean? Where does it come from? What is its root? And what is the way to make sure that you keep it within you? I read a great deal about Gandhi, obviously, and so I was influenced a great deal by him in the sense of saying, if you want to create peace in the world, you really must look at the conflicts within yourself. Mm-hmm. You must look at reconciling what is divided within you. And it sounded nice initially, but I didn't quite buy into that because I was very much action-oriented. You got to go out there and do something about it. You got to have a protest. You've got to have a march. You've got to do something. And it was in the process of walking, in the process of meeting different people, because you got to think, we were walking literally into the unknown every day because we didn't know where we were going to be every day. And so every new experience, every encounter was really forcing me and Alberto, I would say, to look at myself, to look at my beliefs, to look at my judgments, look at my prejudices. Hmm. And it became my way of beginning to live what Gandhi was trying to say, which is to say, you cannot bring it to the world if you yourself are filled with hate, with anger, with division, with whatever it is, all of these are preventing what is naturally, I believe, in the human heart to come out. And so the work became, how do I heal this? How do I reconcile this? How do I make peace with all of my personal demons?
But why'd you have to walk 5,000 kilometers to do it? Why couldn't you just go to your therapist like most people do?
Well, you know, some people are happy just sitting there and meditating.
Sure, yeah.
But mine, I felt like I was an action. I was in motion.
Right.
And the idea of different experiences, unique encounters every day, and really becoming resilient was very key to me because it's very easy to get stuck in a certain way of thinking and not move. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're in a different situation every day, you're having to expand in ways that perhaps just going to a therapist.
That's really well said.
You just wouldn't be able to do.
No, I get it. Totally get it.
Yeah.
Because I've been asked, you know, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And people certainly want to know why I'm doing it, not talking. And I've stumbled over my answers because I'm not 100% clear on my answers. Because if you're in hot pursuit of authenticity, you shouldn't need to go and do something for that thing to kind of, you know, mm-hmm. It should happen in your living room if you're in hot pursuit. But I think these moments and these trails, these incidents, scenery, different location, I think they kickstart something, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of us. Especially, I think, maybe North Americans, you know?
Yes.
Of course.
And, you know, there is something very powerful about, in a way, parking your life for a little bit, your daily routine. And
but aren't we spoiled to be able to do that,
I
though?
Know.
I mean, who gets to take time off and go walk a stinking trail? Not many people.
Sometimes to suffer brings you to that point, you know, like us, you know, to find yourself lost, open the door to try new things. And for me, it was a little that way. But I had seen in El Camino how the pilgrimage had a powerful, it's magical, it's like a powerful magical tool because I experienced that life is like a pilgrimage. So I think this is a journey from when we are born, even maybe before, mm-hmm. and to towards we die, no, or even later, you know. But it's a journey. And it's a journey where we are growing and we are learning and we are experiencing. We are meeting new people and new ideas and new, and then it's all is a process, you know. It's I cannot stuck. I need to be always open to grow, always open to learn, because there is so much more to discover.
Have either of you walked the Camino again?
Yeah.
Yep.
Both of you many times or separately?
Separately.
Separately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've gone back because we were living in Spain for 7 years in his hometown.
Okay.
And so it wasn't as much of a big deal to go up to the Camino to say, I'm just going to go.
I'm just going to go to the Camino. I'll be back next week.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult because we had a daughter already at that moment.
You had a what already?
A daughter.
A daughter, we married. A child.
Oh, I heard adultery.
No.
I don't want to know about this. Okay, yeah. You had a daughter already. Okay, yeah, so how many children do you have?
What?
Just one.
And how old is your daughter?
She's 12.
Okay.
Yeah, she came literally just after we finished walking, after we arrived in Jerusalem.
Let me do some math.
Yeah.
And you know, she was born the same day that 1 year after. No, 1 year after that when we... two years after.
Well, we began walking together because I started walking. It's a longer story, but I started walking from Rome alone until he cleared up his kind of situation with Hannah.
Right.
He joined me later. But the day we began walking together on December the 5th of 2001. And our daughter was born December the 5th
that's cool.
of 2003.
That's cool.
And we didn't really appreciate that until much later. We're looking through our diaries.
A
new pilgrim. Yeah.
Today's Camino Gurus here on the Drew Marshall Show is Monet and Alberto.
I don't like the Camino Guru theme. But
I know. None of the gurus like it.
I know that you're saying.
I'm just being cheeky. I wasn't going to call you experts. That's worse.
Oh, gosh, that's worse.
They are authors of Walking for Peace and Inner Journey. Their website is walkingforpeace.com. I don't know how you got that website. That's fantastic. Walkingforpeace.com. What... If there's somebody listening who's been tuning in specifically about all this Camino stuff, what is the one thing you would say to somebody to help them, you know, push them over the edge? You know, you're not going to convince someone to do the Camino, because I think I've heard this many times, the Camino finds you.
Yes.
True?
I would say so.
For me, what's that way to?
Yeah.
I would say so.
But what is it? Just sell it. What is one thing? Someone's listening. They've heard all this Camino talk last few weeks, and now you guys are in. Now, look, the first thing they're going to say is, maybe I'll find my Alberto.
It's true that many people go trying
looking
to find
for romance.
Oh, really?
A couple.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is gross.
why not?
So what do you say? What do you say to people? Sell them on it. Why should they do it? Morning.
I believe there is a great journey to be made moving from your head to your heart. And I believe if you can be on pilgrimage, whether it's on the Camino or elsewhere, I mean, the Camino is the most popular, but there are other places as well.
Right.
If you can come to it from a place of being open to what's happening around you, open to the possibility that perhaps there is more to you and there's more to your life than simply what you're seeing in front of you, then that it's important to let go a little bit of your plans and the need to control everything. And until you can do that, you won't feel anything of the magic.
So for those people who are achievers, doers, task-oriented types, this would be the best thing for them, but they are like the last person who want to sign up for this, right?
You know what? I come from the corporate world.
Yeah,
I have an MBA. I worked
way.
At Microsoft for many years, so I understand the analytical left brain need to plan and control. I get that. And I speak from the experience of saying it was important to me to be able to balance the need to control and plan with the letting go so I can experience the magic. And so this for me was important personally on the inner planes.
Okay. Alberto, you have one chance to convince someone to do the Camino. What do you say?
Okay. I recommend to do the Camino because how Moni said before is to go out of your routine and to try to find a new self that is already there in you. But I will recommend the same, to trust. For me, to trust is very important. Not only to trust in yourself, to trust in life, and to trust in people, even. To try to, that you don't need, how do you say, you don't need to control everything. To open yourself to see what happens if you are lost. Mm. What happened? Maybe somebody, happened to us many times, somebody appeared in the last moment, or a dog came and crossing your path and look at you and move the tail and say, follow me. You know, and that is small miracles, that is small coincidences that had not logic or, you know, in the statistics. You know, so this is impossible that this happened just now. Mm. And that happened all the time. Then to trust a little in your intuition, if you want to call it, that you don't believe anything, there is something that moves us and something that guides us. And you can find much better outside of your routine life where you are following an agenda and controlling everything. When you are open, you are in a new world, in a new adventure, and that is where it's so much easier to find that magic.
You know? And you know what's beautiful about that is that now renewed and and refreshed yourself, you can bring that back to everyone else.
Exactly.
Because we're here to live in this. I believe we're here to live in this world, and we're here to bring this love, this magic, this joy. We're here to bring it here and now, not to escape and go, because there are people that will just keep going to the Camino over and over and over again, because life is on the Camino. Yeah, but life is here, and our purpose is to bring all of that here and to share that with everyone consistently, to be a pilgrim in life.
Is there not a sense of escapism in all of this?
Could be, especially if you come from a situation of suffer. It can be. But you know, who say that escape is not, try to escape is not a way to reach the life or to reach a new perception?
That's really well said.
You know?
Yeah. Too bad you didn't bring some of your artwork, because that's always good to bring onto a radio show. You're a professional artist, are you not?
Yes, well, professional as I work, that is that I do. We write and we give talks and I paint.
You guys can make money on this, huh? You write and you talk and you paint. And
You know, we are not so ambitious either. So we don't try to live a luxury life, you know, but we make.
Well, then you're living in the wrong city.
We live in Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa's all about, never mind.
Never mind, yeah.
Staying away from that one. Okay, who, you know, I've got Andrew McCarthy on the show next week. Talk to him about his book and his story with the Camino. He said to me in an email, you're doing the thing silent? That's crazy. You have to be able to swear at the Camino. Swear out loud at the Camino. Do you understand what he's saying?
Oh, yes.
I guess what he's saying is eventually you're going to come to a point of, you know, walking 800 kilometers. You just want to, you're going to lose your brain at some point, or you're not lose your mind, go lose your marbles. You're going to go a little cuckoo.
Yeah, it's possible.
And you'll suffer. There will be days when you're physically suffering and you'll kick yourself and you go, Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This is like the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And if you can walk through that.
Yeah.
Ask to be helped. Ask the Camino to carry you. I asked the Camino so many times, like, please just carry me because I can't take another step.
There's no cabs.
There are cabs.
Oh, there are?
Actually.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
There are those who just simply can't walk anymore. And this is something I think for pilgrims that's important to understand. There is no right way to be a pilgrim.
You know, what I have sensed so far, and I don't know if I can verbalize this yet, but the amount of people I've spoken with about the Camino, I just spoke with Jane Christmas yesterday, who, again, wrote a lovely book about it, and all these great conversations I've been having, there seems to be, everybody has a little bit of, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Everybody has a little, I don't know what that is. Is it I'm a Camino person and you're not yet, and so you need to listen to me? I don't know what it is.
You can find that too. What is the, but you can find
it. And you know what? I brought that up with you guys because I didn't get that from you guys.
No.
That's why I brought it up with you guys.
Because I had find people that were doing the El Camino for no wrong reasons, but for tourism or simply because it was cheap. And I had seen them chain in El Camino.
Yeah.
Then what matter, what brings you there is you are going to reach the point that all we are being pulled, you know.
If there's one thing that I would encourage any pilgrim to do is, and you'll find this once you get on the Camino, you have to have the courage to really walk your own path. You will find people who are older than you who are going at twice the speed that you are.
Jerks! Can I?
You know, my first week on, you know, because I come from the North American competitive,
I go.
I was swearing at them because, like, can you keep going when I'm just suffering over here? And so I really would encourage pilgrims to get rid of any ideas that they have about what it means to be the perfect pilgrim and to have the perfect pilgrimage. It does not exist.
No.
What exists is your path and your Camino and what it is that you need to do. And maybe your pilgrimage includes having somebody carry your backpack because you physically cannot do that anymore.
Tori, that's your job. You're carrying my backpack.
I meant the taxi service, but if you want to give it to somebody else, that's a possibility.
What's the point of having an intern if you can't give her the backpack?
Well, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I would recommend to try to do, to carry your bag. I would recommend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that is a great satisfaction when you arrive and you see, I did this with all help. But when you can't not, you cannot. And you need to be patient and comprehensive.
Yeah, you need to understand to yourself.
And with the moment where you are. And with the situation. You know, it's all is very relative, you know.
Like for somebody who has an illness, for example, and there are people who go on the Camino who have illnesses. Yeah. For them, just to be able to walk 5 kilometers is a huge accomplishment. And for them, it's like me or you walking 25, 30. Hmm. So who am I to sit in judgment of somebody else's Camino?
You know, the thing that has helped prepare me for this battle with my ego has, and I never thought I would ever give any credit to yoga. But a year ago today, I walked into a yoga studio in my hometown, and then the following week I did a class a week, because I used to make fun of, yeah, I still kind of make fun of yoga. who am I trying to kid? But I, you know, that whole scene and crowd or whatever, I never get into it. But then I did it for a week, and I got my butt handed to me by people who should not be handing me my butt. And my ego took a beating that week. It was unbelievable. But it was so, I see this as a bit of preparation for the Camino.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And yoga is great. we're laughing because we had
a joke between us. But anyways,
with yoga. But Moni practiced yoga a lot.
Okay, all right. Well, I want people to know all about you, which is why I brought you on the show. And I'm so glad you made the trek all the way down from Ottawa for this. Walkingforpeace.com. Beautiful souls. Love these guys. Moni and Alberto. Alberto. Yeah. Roll up the rim to win. Wrong. That's Scottish. Authors of Walking for Peace and Inner Journey and so much more. Lots on their website to check them out. Our experiences form the basis of our belief that change begins within and that action grounded in a consciousness of love is the most powerful elixir to heal all that is wounded in our world. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you very much.
Oh,
it was an honor.
It was our pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure.